in the squadron. They called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Well, this never happens, but it's happening. The government taking responsibility for a colossal screw-up. How about that? So the federal government, because of the FBI's incompetence, will be paying $100 million to the victims of Larry Nassar. Remember that guy, the coach for the women's gymnastic team and in Ohio, right? And he was molesting them. He was just the worst guy in the world. He's in jail forever. And the FBI had all kinds of information that they sat on, that they didn't put together, that they just, so $100 million being paid out to these women, their families. All right, more. This is just coming in. Hey, if the FBI is taking responsibility and writing checks, how about, for the families of 9/11? How about, maybe the Kennedy family? You guys botched that one big time. How about for all the people, the innocent people who lost their lives at Waco, Texas, Ruby Ridge? I mean, there is a long list of FBI screw-ups, big time. How about meddling in the 2016 election? How about screwing around in the 2020 election? We got to get these guys to start paying a price because they're going to do it again. They're poised to do it again in 2024. This plot against Trump is not working, although it is kind of a pain in the neck. Inconvenience, right? What is he? Time, money. He can't raise money. He's in a bit of a box, but was that beautiful or what? Talk about making champagne out of crummy grapes and nasty lemons. Donald Trump went to that bodega yesterday where Jose Alba valiantly defended himself and fellow employees when they tried to rob him 2 years ago. You remember that. Alvin Bragg threw the book at this guy, threw him in Rikers Island jail. Jose Alba, until, the whole nation demanded that he be freed, and he had to be freed. Alvin Bragg didn't want to let him go. Donald Trump actually went right there to that bodega on Upper Broadway in Washington Heights and talked to the people, and the people absolutely loved him. Cut three.
Very exciting time for me because the bodegas, the association invited me, and I respect them, and they respect me. They want law and order. They have a lot of crime, tremendous crime, where their stores are being robbed. And as you know, we're going to give New York a very good shot for the presidency. We think we should be able to do it. A lot of things have changed. Lee Zeldin did a beautiful job. He ran. He lost by a little bit. And New York's a lot different. And we'll work with the mayor, and we'll work with the governor, and we'll bring in a lot of federal money. But we have to straighten out New York, and that includes crime. And these guys have great people, great friends, but they have tremendous crime. So we're going to straighten it out.
We're going to straighten it out. And you know what? They're going to possibly win New York. Stuff I've been talking about, winning New Jersey, winning New York, the Trump campaign is actually coming up with plans to do that. Hey, while he's here, why not? Campaign his ass off all around New York. There's going to be rallies in New York City. Could New York be in play? Hasn't been won by a Republican since 1984, since Ronald Reagan in 1984. I used to live upstate. That place is Trump country. I know Long Island. Lots of Trump people out there. Didn't Trump win Suffolk County last time around? I think he did. Anyway, this is exciting. And the Democrats, once again, shot by their own gun. We'll see what happens. I can't stand that they're doing this to him. I can't stand it. Hey, right now on Capitol Hill, a couple of things are going down. The Mayorkas impeachment trial, you know, that googly-eyed weirdo who's the Department of Homeland Security secretary who really is not interested in Homeland Security. Homeland insecurity, not having a border. Somehow that's stylish, right? Letting people in from all over the world, no matter what, no matter if they came here legally or illegally, just come on in. Legally is fine. Illegally, that's a problem. But DHS doesn't have a problem with that. They want it. The political class wants it. They want to portray these newcomers as Biden voters. And that's really a very, very precarious time. So the trial, and how does a trial work in the Senate? Remember, with the impeachments of Donald Trump? Well, you have the House managers. They get up and they make the case. They make the case against, well, they'll make the case against Mayorkas. So there'll be a number of Republican members of Congress. And then they make the case. And I think lawyers come in, right, to defend Mayorkas. Anyway, the Senate will vote on it. We don't have the votes, but you know what? This has got to be done. I am really not comfortable with this Mike Johnson throw him out of the speakership thing. I think we just got to hold our breath and get to the damned election, don't you? I get it. All right, the guy stinks, apparently. I don't work there, all right? I don't follow the nitinoids. I don't sit around watching C-SPAN all day long and that Manu Raju guy on CNN. I just don't care. I do a little bit, but I can't, you know, just represent us. Do your best. But did Mike Johnson go off the deep end? Was he totally co-opted by Speaker, what was that guy's name? The last guy, Paul Ryan. Now, Paul Ryan is, ooh, boy. How did anybody ever fall for that guy? He is the premier globalist right now, probably in North America. He's an up-and-coming globalist. I mean, he's no George Soros, but he's on his way. And apparently he's the boss of Mike Johnson. Could that be? Could Mike Johnson have succumbed that quickly to the dark ways of the swamp? It's happened before. So there was a serious effort to get him the hell out of there. It feels uncomfortable. Doesn't it kind of feel uncomfortable? Don't we have other things that too many things right now? If he's no good, I guess, but I hope you guys know what you're doing. We have a one vote majority right now, one vote, because that Mike Gallagher, remember the congressman from Wisconsin? He's quitting. I can't get my hands around it. I don't want to get my hands around it. I just want Trump to win. It's too much. Matt Gaetz is a great guy, very talented, but is he a camera hog or is he a patriot? I don't know. Sometimes I wonder. I know his heart is in the right place, but damn, getting rid of Mike Johnson. What could be wrong with Mike Johnson? All right. Yeah, he approved the omnibus bill, which I guess there's a lot of stuff in there we don't like. He approved the FISA reauthorization. Yeah, that was a chump move. Oh, boy. Now he's all for the Ukraine money. More billion. Maybe we do get rid of this guy. What happens? Is it something in the water? Why do they always go back on who they were when they showed up? The other thing that's going on right now, Columbia University used to be a fine, great university, but like all the other Ivy League schools, it's become a hotbed of wokeism and anti-Semitism. And there are riots every day in favor of those horrible terrorists who still are keeping babies and young women and the elderly hostage over there. How can you root for that side? How can you root for Hamas? Well, a lot of that's going on at Columbia right now. So they have the university president down there. Remember when the last one showed up from Harvard, from UPenn, and they like condoned genocide? Yeah, it's okay to talk about genocide as long as you don't actually conduct genocide. You can be in favor of genocide. There are certain things you really, at a private institution, we don't expect you to be in favor of. You can be in favor of it, but you can't be the president of this university any longer. You can't, you know, that's fine. That's still a free country. But here's the thing about Columbia. When are we going to have the hearings about how the hell did it get so expensive to go to college? Now, I looked it up. The tuition for Columbia University a year is damn near close to $100,000. In 1960, I think when my dad enrolled in college, Manhattan College, you know how much it was to go to college? $1,400 for the year. You could be a man with a family and work and provide for your family and go to school. What has changed at college? What's so fancy and new and expensive? I looked it up. It's basically the same facilities, especially at Columbia. They've got the same buildings. They've got the same swimming pool. They got the same track. They've got the same classrooms. And there's some guy sitting in front of the class or standing in front of the class. And all the kids are in their seats. What became so expensive? And this is happening everywhere. And the president of Columbia University, I think, makes over $5 million. To be an academic administrator, I looked it up. There was a very famous professor and president of Columbia University. His name was Dwight Eisenhower. Dwight Eisenhower, after he left the Army, before he became president, actually was the president of Columbia University. And you know how much money he got? Zero. Zero. I think they gave him room and board. They gave him a very nice house, but he didn't get any money. Millions and millions of dollars, not to mention these crazy football coaches at Auburn and Alabama making, you know, $40 million contracts, $100 million contracts. I think we need to get, well, we can't get rid of it, but that's insane. That is insane. And we are, I don't want to forgive student loan. No way. You take it. You got to pay that back. But how did this happen? Where are the congressional hearings about the insane tuition rates? Please, could we have that? All right. It's actually a day off from court for Donald Trump. The case against him. Hey, we've got the best experts in the world. Alan Dershowitz, the guy's on speed dial. Cut seven, please.
Look, this case should never be tried. Well, there's no crime here. I've been doing this 60 years. I've probably taught more students, read more cases, litigated more cases than anybody. I've never seen a case as weak as this. A misdemeanor, barred by the statute of limitations, turned into a felony by alleging a crime you don't even name that the federal government refused to prosecute and your predecessor refused to prosecute. This is such a weak case that it ought to be in front of the Bar Association.
I would love it if Judge Mershon and Alvin Bragg and all of them somehow lost their law licenses after this. You know, can you believe they're busting on Rudy Giuliani? What did Rudy Giuliani do that was so bad? Nothing. He said something about Ruby Freeman and Shea Moss. You're allowed to say things about people. You're allowed to have suspicions. And this whole idea, the moment you criticize somebody they like, it's a threat to democracy. It's a threat. It's an attack. Give me a little bit more, Dersh. Alan Dershowitz, cut eight.
Well, the gag order is unconstitutional. You can, under the Constitution, attack witnesses against you. You mm-hmm. can call them liars. You can say they're guilty. You can, and they can sue you for defamation. But there's nothing in the Constitution that permits a judge to prevent you from attacking witnesses. Also, there's nothing that would prevent a defendant from attacking the judge's daughter. If the judge's daughter will profit financially in her company from a Trump conviction, she's already profiting from the trial itself in front of the judge, he has the right to bring that out and the right to say that. The other thing that his lawyers have a right to do, and I don't know if they're aware of this, there's a statute in New York that says that you can make a motion to allow the defendant, in this case Trump, to leave the courtroom any day to go to his son's graduation, to go to the Supreme Court. But it says the government, the state, must consent to it. Now, that's clearly unconstitutional. The state has no legitimate right to prevent a defendant from exercising his First Amendment right to campaign or exercising his familial right to go to his son's graduation. The only right here is the right of the defendant to be at the trial. And if he wants to waive it, and the statute permits a waiver, but somebody inserted into the statute the fact that the state, the prosecution, has to consent, that's clearly unconstitutional. I think if that went up to the higher courts, it would win. He has the right not to be at his trial.
It's so beautiful. You know, here at WABC, a handful of other places, Alan Dershowitz is alone in the legal community. He is obviously right. There are less than five prominent attorneys in the country speaking about the injustice. Now, there are probably 5 million who know it. They know it. They're afraid. They're lazy. What's the problem? What is the problem, huh? What are you afraid of at this point? They're taking our whole damn country. You know, if Joe Biden somehow gets reelected, you know who the heir apparent is? Forget Kamala. You know who it is? Pete Buttigieg. Yep. And that creepy husband who loves hanging around kids at gay camp. It's a real thing, and it's a real concern. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly. On the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Stop. ED is no laughing matter. This can be caused from low T, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Elevate Wellness can help. 40% of men over 40 have experienced this. Make the call to Elevate Wellness now. 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. The office visit is only $99 and includes exam, blood work, test dose, and consultation. Call Elevate Wellness. 973-354-2276. Or Elevate Wellness Group. Your health is important. Your sexual health is very important. And like everything else, it has challenges. As many as 50% of men over 50 have sexual-related difficulties, like ED, low testosterone, and low energy. That's where they come in. Elevate Wellness has real professional and in-person solutions. Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Or visit ElevateWellnessGroup.com and get back to where it started. Office visits only $99 this month.
If you're suffering from ED, you're not alone. 60% of men over 60 have this problem. Help is out there. The professionals at Elevate Wellness can help you be the man you used to be. They've helped thousands of patients and have a 96% success rate. What are you waiting for? Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Your first visit is only $99. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Help is out there. ElevateWellnessGroup.com.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
This Judge Merchan seems like a real head case, by the way. Total Trump hater. This next juror, we have the juror, right? The jury. So this is a woman who was, the only reason why they excused her was because she has a conflict with her schedule. Her job gets in the way. But, you know, you can be politically biased. Yeah, you know, I voted against Trump. Yeah, I don't like Trump, but I'll just look at the law and the evidence here. And Judge Merchan is buying that. Could this woman ever in a million years be objective when it comes to President Trump? She tells reporters exactly how she feels about him. Go ahead.
Can you share your opinion of the former president and why you felt that you could be unbiased?
I'm not a fan. During COVID-19, I lived with someone who was immunocompromised, and I think his handling of COVID-19 was abysmal. I have a sister who was adopted from China, and the comments he made about China when he was running for president made her very anxious.
Made her anxious?
Therefore made me angry.
Angry?
There were policies he has supported that regard women and reproductive health that I do not agree with. And I think all of that needs to be addressed.
All of that needs to be addressed. By whom? I mean, the voters or jurors? That's the problem. Hey, you don't like him on the issues. You don't like him for this, that, and the other thing. You don't like him because he was a little bit rough when it came to China. We want somebody rough when it comes to China, right? When you're not rough with China, what do? They take advantage of us. They steal us. They steal from us. And they float that crazy balloon right over the country. And Joe, since he's compromised, since his son did all kinds of business over there, can't do a damn thing about it. All right. Well, now she's free to vote against him. At least she'll have to wait in November. She can't vote against him in the jury box. Man, this is not... I mean, I guess we expect a conviction. Here's what I'm really kind of now. This judge is crazy enough to put Trump in jail for this case that has, it's meaningless. Donald Trump writes a check to his own lawyer for $35,000 and they make it a crime. Joe Biden receives a $200,000 check from his brother, Frank, $200,000. And that does not warrant an investigation. Middle class Joe, regular Joe. Oh, his new commercial is absolutely sickening. Exploiting the good people of Scranton. He tries to pretend that place is some sort of hellhole. I've been there. It's fine. Hey, we've all seen The Office, right? The Office, it's based there. Kathy, hello, real quick. What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I love you, first of all. But I'm so angry and frustrated. If Dershowitz is saying everything is wrong with this trial, who could stop this? It's so frustrating.
It is frustrating, right? You think there's going to be somebody to step in, the chief judge, the Supreme Court, the bar commission, somebody. But apparently at this stage, no. It's just us. It's just us. And what can we do? A lot more than we're doing. A lot more than I'm doing. A lot more than you're doing, probably, Kathy. Seriously, write a check to the lawyers, to his campaign, to everything you can do, social media, and a million other things. Get on it. Thank you, Kathy. Bye-bye.
Greg Kelly. On the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly. Entertaining and informative. On the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, don't believe that. I can't believe they're going back to the old hits that did not work. That Joe Biden is a guy who grew up just middle class Joe, just a regular guy, Joe six pack, Joe lunch pail Biden. And his dad was always getting fired and unemployed. No, it's really not like that. But here's the commercial where they play on heartstrings and they really take us all for chumps. This is a brand new one. Go ahead.
Scranton is a set of values. We pride ourselves on the importance of family and honesty and hard work.
Joe loves Scranton because this was the beginning. President Biden is my first cousin, and there's almost like a part of him still here in Scranton.
We're all middle-class people, hardworking people, and he was part of it. And I'm a longtime friend of President Joe Biden. We go way back before we were in grade school. He never forgot where he came from.
Scranton really, I think, is the case study for what President Biden has done since he's taken office. 4 years ago, we were distressed. We're out of financial distress as a city. People are working. People are, I think, happier because they can find a job. We have construction all over the city.
I have seen an increased number of new businesses open since
the
pandemic.
By the way, it's one little dump truck on a street with a guy shoveling. You can't see the video. Scranton looks a lot better in the TV show, The Office. It does not, the pictures are not matching the words. One of the ladies speaking is Joe Biden's cousin, who they try to make like, they try to make her look like an invalid. She's not an invalid, but they really went out of her way to make her look like, you know, down on her luck. Keep going.
I have seen an increased number of new businesses open since the pandemic.
I feel like for the first time in a long time, we have a president who understands normal middle-class people like me.
I do not believe that President Trump was for the little guy. He was for the wealthy. That was his lifestyle, and that's what he protected.
Trump is for Trump.
President Biden is setting us up for not just tomorrow, but for 50 years from now. We are so optimistic for the future of Scranton and continuing the work going ahead the next 4 years.
Wow. What a load of crap. I have it here. Joe Biden has always had a taste for the finer things and thought he was better than everybody else. And it goes right back to his old man, Joe Biden Sr. Listen to this. According to Joe's little brother, Jimmy Biden, his father's idea of casual attire was a sport coat and an ascot. You opened a closet and you found Mr. Biden's polo mallet, equestrian boots, riding breeches, and hunting pinks, items that suggested a past life of privilege. And then it goes on here. Joe Biden, his father, basically had a traveling businessman. He had a big operation in Baltimore. And when he went to Baltimore, what could you find there? Horses, airplanes, yachts. These are Biden's. According to Sheen, a family relative, Sheen, Biden Sr. and Sheen Jr. were allowed to participate in fox hunts in Maryland's countryside because of their blue-blooded lineage. How about that? That has nothing to do. And you got to look at the very first house that Joe Biden was born into, right? It's fine. It's a totally fine house. It's a middle-class house. I looked it up. I looked at the very first house that Donald Trump was born into. You know what it looks like? A middle-class house. It's not that one with the big columns. That's around the block. He actually was born around the block. He was born in Jamaica Hospital, a very ordinary house. But through hard work, commitment, and a kind of an ambition to get rich, and that's okay when you're in the private sector, he ultimately was able to purchase Trump Tower, build Trump Tower, Mar-a-Lago. It's fascinating, though. Joe Biden goes from pretty ordinary house. Look at the first house that he entered when he left the vice presidency in 2017. It's a palace. It is a palace. He got his palace through public service. How do you do that? Well, by serving yourself before the public, by serving yourself. Very selfish, very greedy guy. And I wonder, I have a friend, a dear friend, who was still harping on January 6th. And still talking about COVID, Donald Trump didn't do the right thing during COVID. Oh, they said Donald Trump told us all to drink bleach. Can you believe that people are believing what the fake news said about that moment? He didn't say drink bleach. He was looking forward to a new treatment that would disinfect blood, similar to bleach, similar to a bleaching process. And he's saying it not to the people. He's saying it off to a guy standing at the side of the room. We're not children. We know when people are speaking like that. We know there are all kinds of metaphors, especially when it comes to medicine. Hey, by the way, do you know anybody on Ozempic? There's this General McKenzie who used to be a four-star general, and now he's selling a book. He was in the Marine Corps. Now he's out of the Marine Corps. He clearly got an Ozempic, just like Mike Pompeo is on Ozempic. It's a drug for diabetes, right? But I guess it kills your appetite. I kind of have been tempted to try this thing because I don't know. It's a struggle to lose weight. You take this shot. The problem is your head, it becomes like a shrunken head. Everybody looks a little bit like Al Sharpton. You know what I mean? Al Sharpton, well, the head is somehow not in proportion with the body. His head is big. General McKenzie's head is small. There's just something unnatural about it. And I guess that's what it is. Ozempic is unnatural. It plays around with your serotonin levels. Hey, can we turn up the news real quick? So this is it. They're signing in. These are the jurors, the United States Senate. Each of them are signing in a special book because they're about to have a trial, an impeachment trial for Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, the bug-eyed guy from the Department of Homeland Security who does not want to secure America. Go ahead. What? All right. Well, there's actually not. I'm watching people go up and sign a book. One after the next, they sign a book. I mean, don't we know they're senators? Why do they have to sign the book? Oh, there's a Senator Mazie Hirono, also known as Lazy
Mr.
Mazie.
Mr. Hirono, Mr. Yeah. Hoven, Mrs. Hyde Smith.
Stop! Crazy, they call her two things. She's from Hawaii. Lazy Mazie and Crazy Mazie. I think I like Crazy Mazie best. Keep going. Oh, there's that Sheldon guy, White House. He's a member of an all-white beach club in Rhode Island. Snobbiest guy in the world. I don't know who that is. Oh, Lindsey Graham coming up. Lindsey is weird. Let's face it. Lindsey, you can't count on him. He's all over the place. Signing that book. This is the special jury book. Sign in for the jury. Hey, you know who was a great defense attorney for Trump during this, during the impeachment? Alan Dershowitz. We just had him on. They say when you get elected to the Senate, you spend the first 2 years like wondering how you got there. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm here. And then you spend the next 2 years wondering how everybody else got here. Because it's a real eye-opener. Pump up the volume one more time.
Mr. King.
Angus King. His name is Angus. All the networks are covering this right now. Just these people signing the book. Can you turn up MSNBC for a moment? I wonder if her comment, what she's saying about this as they sign the book. It's a clerk. And they got, well, that's it. Nah. I'd prefer to go to the DMV right now. I can really shut it off. Bernie, what is the problem?
Greg, when you said the people have to bring their self to bear upon the politicians, there was a movie, a motion picture, I forget when, it was called Meet John Doe, where an oligarch tries to turn America fascist. And the last line in the movie, the people defeat the oligarch. And the last line in the movie is, you see, the people, and that's the end of the movie, the people defeat the oligarch.
All right. Yeah, sure. What's the name of that movie?
It's called Meet John Doe.
All right. Thank you. What's your situation there, Bernie? How old are you, by the way?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I'll be 90 this year.
I asked because of the Gary Cooper reference. All right, that's pretty much, you know, wow, long, good life. There's this question that this podcaster asks a lot. What would your advice be to your 20-year-old self? If you could go back in time as who you are now and you meet your 20-year-old Bernie, what would you tell Bernie? What advice?
I would tell the youngsters that America is changing. America is a lot different than it was in the 60s.
No. I mean, what would you tell yourself, Bernie? You go back to, what's 70 years ago? 70 years ago is 1954, and you meet Bernie on the street. What would you tell that guy?
In 1954, I would say America's the greatest land in the world.
All right, Bernie. Thank you. It sure was. Pump up MSNBC for a moment.
It's right behind where everyone is sitting, and there is coffee always in there, and there is usually an opportunity for your staff to bring you up a Diet Coke.
Oh, geez. Here I was self-conscious about my commentary. on that podium is our refreshments. Our refreshments. Ooh, there's Mitch McConnell. Mitch the Turtle McConnell, he's signing in. Man, I have never felt so removed and distant, and there's a huge chasm between those people right there on Capitol Hill and you and me. There's something going on, and it's dark, and it's weird, and I don't like it. They're not there for us that much. We all know. Be right back.
Greg Kelly, on the Red Apple Podcast Network. Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
There's some people busting my chops about the whole O.J. Simpson thing. Yeah, it's true. I think he's innocent. I didn't think that all along. I really didn't care. I was interested in the case, but I wasn't really wrapped up one way or the other. You know, there was a nine-month trial, wall-to-wall coverage. There was a certain aspect of a whodunit thing in the air. I mean, it was. Maybe it was artificial for the networks to do that, but they kind of made it a little bit debatable. I mean, if it was open and shut, why have all that coverage? So they created this fake drama, I guess, because if they thought he was really guilty, they kind of left it a little bit open-ended. Look, I know it is shocking, though. It is shocking to say that. It's shocking that I'm feeling this way, but I do. And remember the entities who told us he was guilty? Mainstream media and the state of California. And the big thing is, there are two huge things. Number one, totally confirmed, Mark Furman, complete dirty cop, total racist, and he planted evidence. I know he planted evidence in this case and in other cases. He admitted it. He absolutely admitted it in other cases. On this one with the glove, he took the fifth, and there are a million reasons why. He wanted to stay in this case, and he wanted to be the star. And all of the discoveries, you know, detectives, they work together, right? You ever see that? When do detectives split up? Watch any TV show. Or actually, if you ever meet a detective, you know, officially in the line of duty, they're going to come with a partner, and they're going to talk to you together. Mark Furman was coming up with the glove. He was coming up with the blood, all by his lonesome. But the real thing, though, is, I do believe that he planted the blood. And the blood, you think it was like all over the place? No, it's like it's microscopic. We're talking microscopic amounts of blood. And I do believe Alan Dershowitz told me the blood was tainted with EDT. I believe it. I believe that's proof of interference and a deliberate attempt to fake it. Let's see. Oh, he didn't have enough time to kill Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. There just was not enough time. At 10:03, he was still in the house on Rockingham making phone calls. He just got back. Think of your frame of mind. If you go out with a buddy to McDonald's to get something to eat, like that's the most chillax thing you can do. He gets back at 9:37. He makes a phone call at 10:03. It looks like the murder actually happened at 10:30. There's all kinds of debate about this because we don't have cell phones. There's no security cameras. You know what they do? They debate about dogs barking and when they started barking and who heard the dog. And it's very, very imprecise. But it looks like 10:30. There's no way he could kill those two people and get back to the house all cleaned up for Alan Park, the limo driver, to pick him up at 10:55. And so much about this case has been lies or just stuff that's flat out not true, leaks. And that Marsha, what's her name again? Marsha Clark and Chris, those guys, total zeros. And I think they had no integrity. F. Lee Bailey had an up and down life, but that guy who I talked to a number of occasions on a number of occasions, I always liked him. Brilliant. His chief investigator is a guy named McKenna, Pat McKenna. I believe these guys. I trust these guys. And how about that? It's too late, by the way. OJ's dead. Now, there is a theory that he was protecting his son. I don't want to even say the son's name anymore because I don't, but there is a theory that is, and there's, it's very intriguing. The theory is very, very intriguing. All right. With that, Sandra, hello. We won't speak about fresh start. What do you say? And we will be proactive and doing things that help you and me both. What's up?
Absolutely, Greg. I agree with you. So I was thinking about Donald Trump, and, you know, he is going to put, he's going to take lemons and make them lemonades. And that's what he did the other day going to that bodega. And I believe that God works in mysterious ways. God put him there for a reason. I'm not saying that we want him there, but he is there. And you said the other day, he's sitting there every day and he's resting. And in a way, I see the same thing. He's sitting there resting. And you know what? People work till 6 o'clock. Then they get out of work. And he can, and I believe he will campaign at night. And he'll touch this whole city and everyone will get to know him. And I also believe that God doesn't give you more than you can handle. And I believe that Trump is going to make it. And that's what I believe.
Well, you and I are on the same wavelength here because yesterday, what did I tweet? I kind of tweeted almost exactly what you said. I took a little video of Trump up there at the bodega, and I put it a little bit differently, but basically the same. Making champagne out of rotten lemons and grapes. Trump is killing it in Upper Manhattan. Flip New York to red. Oh, by the way, Trump, yeah, he put me on Truth Social. He put my videos on Truth Social. Two of them are now on Truth Social. Are you on Truth Social? Yeah, neither am I. I'm not on Truth Social. I should get on. Sandra, thank you very much. Thank you. And here's, what's his name? Chuck Schumer. Explaining to everybody how we can have an impeachment of Mayorkas, huh? How's that? We'll be seeing about that. Go ahead and turn up the volume, please.
S-res 622, the trial committee. That there then be up to 60 minutes of debate on the resolutions concurrently and equally divided between the two leaders or their designees. And following the use or yielding back of that time, the Senate vote on or in relation to the resolutions in the order listed with no amendments to the resolutions in order. Further, that following the disposition of the trial resolutions, if they are not agreed to, Senator Schumer or his designee be recognized to make a motion to dismiss the first article of impeachment. That the motion be subject to only 7 points of order.
All right. Isn't this the guy who threatened Gorsuch and threatened Kavanaugh? It is. It is. How dare you, Gorsuch? We will release the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You will know what hit you. That was him. They should impeach him. That's a violation of federal law right there. Hey, what happened with that mob down? Well, it wasn't really a mob. They weren't rioting, but it was a lot of people hanging around City Hall. Mostly illegal migrants and the city once again bending over backwards. What else can we do for you? You're taking over neighborhoods. Nobody knows who you are, where you came from. You got here illegally. You're not intent on assimilating. We know you want money, but this is how you lose a country. It's great to have people from all over the world come to America who want to be Americans. That's the key. And no, that's not ethnocentric. That's not xenophobic. Every country, what is a country? It has a common culture. It's defined by borders. It's a heritage and history. And if you don't buy into our heritage and history, American, which is irrespective of race, okay? Irrespective of race. Do I want to take that call? Steve, is this a negative call or a positive call?
It's a completely positive call.
It was interesting yesterday because I actually was having this discussion with my wife in the morning. I just feel that when all the focus that unfortunately in my 20s, 30s, 40s, et cetera, that I had for that drive just made me miss so many other things and the way I looked at things. And now that I find myself in a different place, I'm looking around and not having that drive behind me is not a nice thing, let's say.
And if you're wondering, Steve is talking about the sex drive. And you know what? When it takes a dip, it's not such a bad thing after all. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. And I know exactly what you're talking about.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.